He's reading the book of Moses, and I guess maybe I'm connected to Moses. This is my life story. When I was 5 years old, my mom and dad were told I had mental retardation and that I would not amount to anything, that I would never leave the house, that I would never get married, that I would never hold a meaningful job. But through God's grace and mercy, wonderful things happen, and miracles do happen. At age 5 years old, third day of kindergarten, the psychologist came in, Dr. Reno. I still remember his name, and I can see him like it was just yesterday. He was from the Mediterranean, so he had an olive complexion, and he had a 5 o'clock shadow at 8:15 in the morning. He looked like an undertaker. He wore a black suit, white shirt that was overstarched, and a black tie. He had hair coming out of his neck like I have on my hair. He had hair coming out of his sleeves like I have on my hair. And for a five-year-old little boy to see that was pretty traumatic. He walked me to his office, and he sat me in front of his desk. And for the next half hour to 45 minutes, he would hold up a little piece of paper that had an ink blot on it that was called the Rorschach test to test your intelligence. And he would show me that picture and say, "What is it?" And I'd look at it, and I would shake my head. And he'd hold up another one, and I would shake my head. And this went on for about a half hour, 45 minutes. He would ask me questions, and I would shake my head. A week later, my mom and dad were called in, and he gave them the report that your son has mental retardation at 5 years old, that he'll have to stay with you, that he won't ever get married, that he won't ever have a meaningful job. And thus, my life began. Now we go up to 8 years old, third grade teacher, Mrs. Young, again like it was yesterday. She was going to cure me of my stuttering. And for 180 days, Mrs. Young would have me stand in front of the class and attempt to read from a little reader. And I would grunt, and I would shake, and kids would laugh and giggle for about 2 to 3 minutes, and Mrs. Young would sit me down, and we'd do it again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. From 8 years old to 15, I became what's called a selective mute. Outside of the home, I did not talk. And school was not working out for me. I was put in lower level classes. Now we, back then you had A-level classes, which were college-bound students, 4-year, B-level classes, which were technical schools, and C-level classes, which would kind of be our self-contained special ed classes now. At age 15, a Rotary Club heard about me, and because we were poor, we couldn't afford therapies. So this Rotary Club sent me upstate New York for 6 weeks, where I learned how to be fluent. And I always had wished, as a little boy at 8 years old, I used to lie in my bed, and my nightly prayer would be, "Lord Jesus, please let me wake up blind tomorrow, but be able to talk. Let me be able to tell my parents that I love them. Let me be able to call up my grandpa and tell him I love them." And every morning I would open my eyes, unfortunately, being able to see. So that was always my gift that I wanted to give to my parents and my grandpa. At age 15, that gift happened. I learned how to talk fluently. I came home from the program, was able to talk to my mom and dad for the first time without stuttering. I was able to call my grandpa up for the first time on the phone, and my grandpa heard my voice tell him I love him. Unfortunately, after about 3.5 to 4 weeks, I started repeating words. I started twitching again. I started putting ums and all those other things. And within 3 weeks, I went back to severe stuttering. And I stayed a selective mute again until I was age 21. And all throughout high school, I was put in all lower level classes. Took woodworking, metalworking, automotive, graphic arts. And I was socially promoted through school. Age 21 now, didn't know what to do. Well, let's back up. After high school, I worked in a factory because that's what I was told, my parents were told I would do. For 3 years, I worked in a factory, cutting paper, sliding it into a cardboard box, stapling it, and putting it on a skid. But whenever the press operator broke the machine down, I would be next to him watching how we operated a printing press. Well, I learned how to operate a four-color printing press, and I began printing the traveler's checks, the Hartford Fireman's Fund, and had all these cameras around me because I was able to print up a lot of insurance checks. Fortunately or unfortunately, I wasn't smart enough at the time to go, insurance checks. Well, through God's grace, something happened one night. A salesman came down with a rush job and wanted me to get this job out, and I looked at it and I had to ask a question. So for the next 15 minutes, I grunted, I shook, I cleared my throat, and after about 15 minutes, he looked at me and he said, "That's why you'll never leave the factory. You can't talk to people." Well, at the time, I was angry. But through God's grace and mercy, if we listen to him and obey him, wonderful things happen. I decided to quit my job that night and went home. Next day, my parents said, "You going to work?" "No, I'm not going to work." "Okay." Next day came, "You going to work?" "I'm not going to work." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I don't know, but I'm not going to work no more." So I decided to do something different. I decided to follow the path I know God wanted me to follow. So I decided to go to the library, because back then, in 1975, Al Gore had not yet invented the internet. So I was stuck. So I had to go to the library, and I took out books on math, science, social studies, English, and started teaching myself. I couldn't write a coherent sentence when I got to high school. I couldn't do basic math when I got out of high school. Science and social studies was never taught. So about 4 months, I studied. I took my SATs, passed my SATs, and then went on to the University of Southern Connecticut. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. But then I started seeing a program there for special education. I figured, well, you know what? Now I know why God put me where he put me. God shapes us and God molds us in everything that we do and every experience we experience, trials and tribulations, joy and celebrations. God is shaping us and God is molding us to see what you're going to do with it. Like Pastor Van said, are you going to hoard it and keep it all to yourself? Or are you going to freely give it back out to others? So I signed up for special education. At the school, they had a speech-language program, a master's degree program. And so they offered free speech therapy for students that attended there. So I went, and through God's grace and mercy and a wonderful program and people that know what they're doing, I'm now able to come here and talk to people and share God's grace and God's love. My parents were told again I had retardation, I wasn't going to amount to anything, would not be able to get married, would not be successful. I will be celebrating 37 years, August 15th this year, with my loving wife, Robin. We hold 9 degrees, and my last degree is a doctorate in ministry. How faithful is God that it should be in ministry? God can take each and every one of us, if we allow him, to work through those trials and work through those tribulations. And if you embrace them and listen to God and use it to advance other people forward. I've worked for Horry County School District for 22 years. That's where Pastor Van and I met. There are a lot of broken people out there, children and adults. Horry County has 1 to 2 suicides a year of students. Last December, we lost a 12-year-old. That should not happen. 12-year-olds should not have such pain in their hearts that the only way out is to take their life. We all have the opportunity to share and to give to those who people don't want to be around. I hear a lot of times we have bad kids in school. We have bad kids in school. You might have been a bad kid in school. I don't know. And I agree with teachers when I hear they have bad kids in school, but my definition of bad is very different. My definition of bad is brokenhearted, abandoned, and demoralized. That's kind of how I felt growing up. Every time I tried to
engage people, they would laugh at me or turn their back. Every time I tried to call somebody, they'd hang up on me. But my parents never gave up on me. My parents made sure I went to church and heard God's word. Was I angry at God that I wasn't blind? Because I really wanted to be blind. That was my prayer, Lord, please blind me, but let me be able to speak. God does answer prayers. And God knows what prayers to answer. It's not what we want of God, it's what God wants from us. And if you take the time in your trials and tribulations and really seek God out, it might not be the answer you want to hear, but it's going to be the answer that God needs to impart in you to do His will. In Genesis 3, God shares something for mankind. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, breathed the life, and man became a living soul. The gift and the miracle is the miracle of life. Life is such a precious thing, and we're here such a short time. People say God doesn't do miracles anymore. Look how many miracles are here right now, and how many more miracles are outside of this building, not knowing they are miracles. Because if they knew they were miracles, this whole place would be filled right now. People are seeking. People are wanting to know God. But they don't know how to get to God. They don't know how to hear God. Everybody here is God's voice. You are God's miracle. You are God's life. And if we'll be brave enough and strong enough to reach out to those who we feel uncomfortable with, when that homeless person comes up to you and asks for money, we don't need to be ugly. We can say, well, at this time I don't have money, but can I pray for you? Can I pray that God will protect you tonight? Can I pray that God will reveal himself to you tonight? We can do that, but sometimes we choose not to. If people don't look like us, think like us, talk like us, we tend to kind of turn our backs on them. So what I would want to be able to share with you today is that miracles do happen. Miracles happen if you're willing to reach out. I have a young man who he allows me to share his name. His name is Joe Birch. In 2010, I opened up a school in Horry County called TLC, which the acronym, we did that for purpose, Tender Loving Care. But I had to call it the Therapeutic Learning Center. But kids knew when they came into that building, it was Tender Loving Care, and I did that on purpose. The first day we opened the school up, and this was for special ed students who had severe emotional challenges, who weren't being successful in their self-contained classrooms, violent to others and property, violent to themselves, being self-injurious. We had about 43 students at the school. The kids would pull up on the bus would come out, I would greet them the first day, tell them how happy that they were here. I told them they'd be safe in this building, loved in this building, and they'd be shown how smart they are. The buses were coming in, we'd greet every child. Last bus comes out, out comes one student, Joe Birch, sixth grader. Joe Birch was at our alternative school prior to coming to my school. Joe Birch was in the first percentile. So if there were 100 people, there were 99 people smarter than Joe Birch. Joe Birch was told from kindergarten till he got to TLC that he was the worst student Horry County had ever had. I spoke to administrators who told me, boy, do I feel bad for you. This kid cannot learn, will not learn, and will hurt as many people as he can. And when Joe Birch got off that bus, first thing, he walked up to me and he said, I'm going to hurt as many people in this building as I can. So I thought, oh Lord, I have a decision to make. I can say, heck no, stand here, you're not going into my building. But I chose something else. I chose to look at Joe and say, Joe, at least you have a goal in life. I work with grown-ups that don't have goals. Okay? But I told him, my goal is to show you how smart you are, how loved you are, and how safe you're going to be in this building for 3 months. And I could dial Joe up right now on my cell phone and put him on speakerphone. For 3 months, Joe Burt slithered on the floor like a snake. He clucked like a chicken and howled like a wolf for 3 months. And we had a room where Joe could go. It was a reflection room. And I would sit on the floor, try to talk to him, and he would slither by and cluck and howl, and that's all he did for 3 months. Why it took me 3 months to think of this, I don't know. We were learning something, I guess. One day as he was slithering by, I said to him, I wish I could have somebody that could stay after school with me and help me fix the hallways out and make them more friendly for children. Got up, sat next to me, said, can I do that? And I said, well, Joe, I would love that. But my boss is probably not going to allow that because you're not in class learning. If I go to class, you'll let me stay after with you? I said, sure. As God is my witness, Joe got up, walked into class. Couldn't read. Just sat there, couldn't read. So I had somebody work with him. Within 3 months, he was reading on grade level. We did an IQ test with Joe. Joe has 139 IQ. The average IQ of people in here is 100. That's average. 115 is high average. 85 is low average. Joe had 139. He was probably smarter than me and most of my teachers in the building. Couldn't read. He was in the first percentile. Joe and I started to build a relationship. At age 8, Joe watched his dad get taken out of his house with a sheet over his head and a needle still stuck in his arm. Joe's mom has her own personal demons that she still deals with. But Joe Birch was just a child that God put on my heart. It's that child, it's that person that other people just want to turn their back on. There are people in your lives, I'm sure, that you know that you might want to turn your back on. Those are the ones I'm asking you after today to maybe look at them a little differently. Maybe start with silent prayer in your home and just do intercessory prayer with them, for them. But start reaching out. Joe Birch, when I left after 4 years, I was asked to go back out into the district to help other kids. Joe Birch dropped out of school the year after I left. So I reconnected with Joe and I said, what are you doing? Oh, Dr. C, I don't want to be there no more. I don't like anybody there. I said, well, Joe, we got to do something with your life. Well, I don't like school. I said, well, let's get your GED first. So we got a GED testing all set up. He passed it first time. And this is a young man that dropped out of school after ninth grade. There are people still in adult ed who have gone to adult ed for years and can't pass the GED. Joe passed it first time without really sitting in class. I said, now what, Joe? Well, I don't have a license. I said, come on, we'll take my car, we'll go to motor vehicle, we'll get you your license. Got his license. I said, now what, Joe? Well, I don't know, I got a license. I said, no, now you're going to Ori Georgetown Tech. Well, you know, I don't like reading and science, and so I said, we'll do certificate programs. They have welding, they have electrical, they have plumbing. Joe's graduated all three welding programs, just finished the masonry program. Joe Birch is a gift. Joe Birch is a miracle. Joe Birch is such a loving young man who didn't know how to love because people never loved him. December 19th, we took him out for celebration. And I picked him up. We ate, and we were right next to a Walmart in Conway. And I had shared with him that Robin and I had bought him some gifts, and I also gave him $50 so he could buy himself some pants and a shirt. So I asked him, you know, do you want to go? He said, well, how about if we go to Walmart right now so I can get stuff? I said, okay. So I dropped him off at Walmart. I wait in the car, and he comes out with a little bag. It's like, Joe, I didn't want you to buy gum and candy. I wanted you to buy just shirts and pants for yourself. And he hands me the little bag, and he says, here, Dr. C, this is for you. And I said, Joe, I gave you money to buy yourself something. He said, well, I did buy myself something, Dr. C. This is what Joe bought. Joe bought me a pocket watch that says Dad. And what's really powerful about this is that, unfortunately, my wife and I don't have our own children. But what a gift and what a miracle that this young man, who has nothing, decided to spend the money I gave him to buy himself a gift. He blessed me with this. We have a Father that wants to bless us, that wants us to be a blessing to others. Something very interesting happened this year. My wife and I have talked about it. We lost two very powerful men, famous men. One was Dr. Billy Graham, who lived to be 99 years old, several months away from being 100. There's only 0.5% of the population will live to be that old. Then we lost another man, Stephen Hawking, a famous theoretical physicist. Dr. Billy Graham was seeking the creator of the universe. Stephen Hawking just wanted to know about the universe. I wonder, in his last days, if Stephen Hawking, instead of seeking the universe, like Billy Graham, wanted to seek the creator of the universe. You know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that God so loved me, that God so loved you, that God so loved those that have not yet been born, that he would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's the miracle. That's the gift. Stephen Hawking is quoted as saying, "My goal is simple. It's the complete understanding of the universe, why it is as it is, and why it exists at all." Again, he was just seeking understanding and knowledge. Billy Graham said, "I'm not going to heaven because I preached to great crowds or I read the Bible many times over. I'm going to heaven just like the thief on the cross who said at the last moment, 'Lord, remember me.'" Two men on two different journeys. You're going to come across people that are just seeking what's here. But you have the gift of salvation. You have the gift of hope. You have the gift, the most important gift, the gift of love. God's asking all of us to reach out to those that just know this world. God's asking us to reveal to them the power of his great love. Those are the miracles. God is still shaping and molding us. God is that great potter. Each of us will go through difficult times, and it's through those times when we're in the fire of the trials and tribulations, if you crack or don't crack, if you're created and you create other people to be a gift that God has put here on this earth, or if you let those times of life that are trials and tribulations crack you and break you and you turn your back on God. God never turns his back on us. God calls us in all things. So it's my gift that I know that God gave me the gift of stuttering, that God gave me the gift of humility, that all that I went through, I'm able now to freely give. Because had I not been a stutterer, I would have been an arrogant person. I know that. So now I look, when I share my testimony, I thank God for the gift of stuttering. Because had I not stuttered, had I not needed help of others, had I not needed the love of people and the understanding of people and God's grace and mercy, I wouldn't be here today. I would be a self-centered person like Stephen Hawking, wanting to know about stuff and not knowing where that stuff came from. God is the great creator. God is the healer of all things. And this is my testimony. And I know it's a big miracle that Van finally got me here. Van says a year. It's been, I ran TLC 2010, and Van hadn't even asked me before that. So Van, it's closer to 8 or 10. He's just getting older. But I want to thank you for allowing me to come here. And I'm also ADD unmedicated, so I ramble. But thank you for this opportunity. I pray that God would bless this congregation, that God would grow it tenfold. But it's not about numbers. It's about what you have in here in your heart. So taking what God has given you and sharing it with the unlikeliest, that's who needs it. And thank you for this opportunity. And God bless all of you.
Amen.